What is a steward? A steward is someone who has been entrusted with the possessions of another. A steward is someone who has been entrusted with the possessions of another.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of What We Do Here Matters. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of What We Do Here Matters.
All right, I'm going to start a series today, probably a short series. But it's going to be dealing with stewardship. As we think about the new year and entering into a new year, I want to challenge us on stewardship. And as we think about that, you know, what does that mean? And so I want to read a couple verses to you, because when we think about stewardship, I want to start the message today. And then on the subsequent messages, we want to look at the three T's, the time, the talent, and the treasure. To lay a groundwork to that, I just want to begin with the thought of this series, and that is, what we do here matters. No matter how young or how old you are, what we do here matters. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What we do here matters. And so, you know, a lot of people are just living for today. You know, they want to know what's in it for today. And they really don't think about there comes a day when all of us are going to have to stand before the Lord. And we're going to have to give an account of this life that we've lived here. And some people will, as Christians, will give an account of their life as one who has squandered their opportunities, one who has squandered their time living it upon themselves. Verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So we're going to talk about the judgment seat of Christ in a little bit, but every believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of their life. And then look at Revelation. Let me get there. I didn't look it up and put it down, but I'll get there for you. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And it's speaking of the saints that endured the tribulation of Revelation. And it says in verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Watch this now. Watch this. And their works do follow them. Their works do follow them. My brothers and sisters, the scripture is very clear. What you do down here matters in eternity. Amen. What two powerful verses that we have read. 2 Corinthians, that lets us know we're going to stand before Christ and give an account of our life. And then we see in Revelation that the saints of Revelation, that they went to their eternal reward in heaven. And notice what it said. Their works followed them. Their works followed them throughout all eternity. And, you know, so it behooves us to make sure that we are doing the things that God has called us to do, and that we haven't, as I heard example given, put our ladders against the wrong house. You know, there was a man who was going to put a roof on a house, and he drove up in his truck, and there were some vicious dogs in the yard. And he tried all that he could to calm the dogs, but the dogs wouldn't get calm. And so, you know, he stood out there trying to figure out how to get his ladder to put it on the house so that he could go up and begin to work on the roof. He got lured the dogs away. The dogs went away to another side of the yard. He came in real quick and climbed up the ladder. Just as he started to climb the ladders, one of the dogs nipped at his heel. And he went through all that trouble and got to the top of the ladder and looked at the roof and found out there was a brand new roof on the house. And so what happened? He put his ladder against the wrong house. And I wonder how many Christians that you said that this is what I'm going to do, and you haven't sought God on that. It's kind of been a unilateral decision of what you said that you were going to do. And when you get to eternity and you stand before the Lord, and I would to God that this would not be the case for you, but you put your ladder against the wrong house. And that's going to be a sad day. Yeah, we're going to be saved, and I'm going to show you that here in a second. Yeah, we're going to go to heaven, but we're going to find out that we didn't spend time doing the things that God would have us to do. If you go to that next slide. So over this series, this mini-series, What We Do Here Matters, on stewardship, we're going to see that God has given to every believer time. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. God has given to everyone, especially his children, time. You know, everybody has 24 hours in a day. You know, you talk to people and they say, well, I'm so busy that, you know, I can't get this done. I can't get that done. Then you talk to somebody else and you see them just doing so much for not only God, but they're accomplishing many things. And you stop back and think and you say to yourself, wow, you know, all of us have 24 hours in a day. That you know, I don't have any more minutes in a day than you have. And so we need to realize that God has given us time. And watch this now, that one day we're going to stand before him and he's going to hold us accountable for our time. What did you do with your time? Did you just spend your time, you know, squandering it, you know, with a bunch of things that had no meaning in it, the things that were empty? Or did you fill your time with those things that bring honor and glory to the Lord? So we're going to look at one message just dealing with time, you know, as believers. Look at this real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1. Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What is a steward? A steward is someone who has been entrusted with the possessions of another. A steward is someone who has been entrusted with the possessions of another. And so when we look back and we see that God has entrusted us with time, he has entrusted us with talents, he has entrusted us with treasures, and he has entrusted us with spiritual gifts. So all of us have 24 hours in a day. The second thing that we see that God has entrusted us with talents. He has given us talents. Now, notice I make a distinction between talents and spiritual gifts, because talents are natural abilities. In Exodus 31, we see two gentlemen, Oholiab and Bezalel, and these individuals were skilled, the Bible says, with craftsmanship, and that when they began to construct the tabernacle, that God had anointed them with natural abilities to be able to assist in the construction of the tabernacle. And so not only does God give us natural abilities and natural talents, but he also gives us spiritual gifts. And again, you know, I'm going to break all of these down, and we're going to get into each one in detail. So all of us have natural abilities. You know, some people can sing. You know, some people are good with numbers. You know, some people have the ability to do art with their hands and crafts and things like that. Well, those are natural abilities. And we can use those natural abilities in the kingdom of God. You know, God get and really, you know, whether you are saved or not saved, you know, natural abilities come from God. That God gifts people to be able to do certain things. And then that dreaded message that I'm going to hate to preach, but I'm going to preach it so that you cannot accuse Pastor Glaze of never preaching a message on money, right? That dreaded message on the treasures. So, you know, I tell this story every time that I talk about this. You know, the person that says, you know, because I preach it on giving maybe once or twice a year. You know, and I thank God for our leadership, because they make sure that, you know, it's before the people, the things that we need to be given to. Because, you know, I just don't want to stand up here and beat people over the head about money. I'll just be honest with you. You know, this is my philosophy, right? So you can mark this down. This is my philosophy. I believe that if God got your heart, he got your pocketbook. All right? So I'm going to preach to your heart. But there comes that time, you know, where people say, you know, Pastor, every time I come to church, you're talking about money. Well, you must only come once or twice a year. If you come, every time you come that I'm talking about. But, you know, again, these are things that God has given us. Let's look at Deuteronomy 8:18 real quick. Deuteronomy 8 and 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who giveth thee power to get wealth. It's God who gives you the power to get wealth. Somebody said, well, you know, I go out every day and I work on my job and I earn the money that I get, and, you know, God doesn't have anything to do with that. Well, you know, how many people are laid out, you know, in their bed or in a hospital somewhere, and they have no ability, you know, to earn any income? And we need to realize that the fact that you got up this morning, that God gave you the strength to get up. And you went out and you spent 8 hours or however long it was working, and God was the one who sustained you and helped you. In Acts we read, it says, in him we live and move and have our being. So we realize that, you know, our treasures come from God. I mean, we can say that, you know, we got all kind of ability to do this and do that, but I don't know about you, but I recognize my source, and my source is God. You know, I'm not my source, because, you know, I could be here today and gone tomorrow, right? But God is my source, and I don't know how many people that I've talked to that have been without employment, and they have seen God as their source. And if God is your source, the Bible says, I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Oh, man, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting amen, but that's okay. Amen. God has, so let's ruminate on this now. Let's ruminate on this, that God has given us time, talent, treasures, and spiritual gifts. God gave them to us. All right? And he's going to hold us accountable when we stand before him. Now, let me do this real quick and talk about the threefold judgment of the believer, because I believe this is important. The threefold judgment of the believer. So we're going to look at this. We're going to say time, position, judgment, place, and the judge. The time in the past, all of us, have a past, all right? And before you came to Christ, now I realize some people grew up and, you know, knowing the Lord in the church, so we praise God for that. You know, we praise God for that. But some of us have a past, and that past or in that position, we were what? We were sinners, right? Our past was sinners. And what did God do? Now, to stay with me, because I'm going somewhere with this, all right? What did God do? He took our sins, and he judged our sins where? at Calvary. At Calvary. All right? And the judge there was the Father. So look at that. In the past, you know, you were a sinner. And your sins were judged. All of your sins were judged. Not only your past sins were judged at Calvary, but all of your sins. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. That the time was the past. My position was a sinner. My sins were judged. The place was Calvary, and the Father was my judge. Amen. The second thing that we see is the present. So we're moving from the past, and we're moving to the present. So in the present, I'm being what? My position is a son. In the past, I was a sinner. In the present now, I'm a son. And what's being judged? My life. Every day, my life is judged. And where's the place that my life is judged? In the prayer closet. In the prayer closet. Every day, I should be coming to the Lord and saying a couple things. You know, the choir sang about this morning, right? I give myself away. That when we come to the prayer closet, we are coming as a son / daughter, child of God. And every day when you come, that the place is the prayer closet and your life is judged. Lord, please forgive me for the wrong thing I said. Please forgive me for the wrong thing that I've done. Lord, please help me to live today in such a way that you would be glorified. Help me to live my life today, Lord, so that I can do your will. So when I'm in my prayer closet, what is being judged in my prayer closet is my life. That as a son, my life is being judged. And who is the judge there? I'm the judge and the Holy Spirit, right? Me and the Holy Spirit get alone, and we begin to examine my life, and we begin to look at my life, and I begin to say, Lord, let me give myself, let me give myself, let me give myself away. And that's the judgment of my life. And so that's in the present. In the past, I was judged as a sinner. In the present, God looks at me as a child. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believed on his name. And so in the present, I bring my life every day before the Father and the Holy Spirit, and we go through this process where I want the Lord, if I have sin in my life, Lord, cleanse the sin that's in my life. Lord, if I want to be able to commune with you, Lord, I want to be able to just walk with you, and that's in the present. So let me show you what's ahead of us one day, and that is, if you go to that next slide, in the future. In the past, you were judged as a sinner. In the present, you are judged as a son. But in the future, you're going to be judged as a steward. That you're going to have to give an account of the life that you've lived here on this earth. What is the judgment? Oh, watch this now. I love this. Stay with me. That in the past, my sins were judged. In the present, my life is judged. But praise God, in the future, my service will be judged. All right? Now, let me say this. That you will never have to give an account for your sin. Once you come to Christ, you'll never have to give an account for your sin again. Now, your sin might affect your service, so in that regard, you may have to give an account. But I mean, as far as your sins were concerned, Jesus took all your sins when he died at Calvary, and his blood covered all your sins, so that when you stand before God in the future, that when you stand before God, that you will not have to give an account for your sin. Now, you will have to give an account for your service. And sin might have affected your service, so in that regard, you will have to give an account of your sin. But when I stand before Christ, I'm going to stand before him, and he's going to ask me, you know, what I did with my what? Time, talent, treasure, and gift. That's what he's going to know. What did you do with the service that I gave you? So where is this place at? This place is at the judgment seat. And who is the judge there? There's only one judge at the judgment seat, and that is Jesus Christ. So if we think about it, again, keep this in mind, right? In the past, a sinner; present, a son; in the future, a servant, a steward. So that's how we are going to be judged. Now let's begin to look at this future judgment, because again, when I start to teach in depth on these time, talent, and treasures, that, you know, we're going to understand that one day we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to have to give an account for him. So let's look at a couple verses here. We already looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. And let's look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Actually, let's go back to verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us, Paul says to the church of Rome, every one of us shall give account of himself unto God. Every one of us shall give an account of itself unto God. So if you go to that next slide, here is what's called the Bema. B-E-M-A, the Bema. And the concept here is there's an elevated platform, and on the platform was a judge, all right? And the judge sat up on the platform and watched those who competed in the race or whatever Olympic activity there was. And one of the jobs of the judge, oh, watch this now, was to make sure that everybody competed lawfully, make sure that they competed according to the rules. You know, Paul talks about this in other places, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27. He talks about that. So he would make sure they competed according to the rules. And after the event, the participants would come and stand before the Bema, and the judge would reward them according to their efforts, their works. And, you know, Paul talked about the fact that they got a wreath, right? Let's look at that. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. That when they stood before this Bema, First Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, he says, know ye not that they who run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. So he says, run in the race. That whatever it is, with your time, talent, treasure, and gifts, run in the race. What's your gift? What gift has God given? What natural ability has God given you? What are you doing with your time?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of What We Do Here Matters. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, What We Do Here Matters, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request What We Do Here Matters. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request What We Do Here Matters. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.